It is July, the last Wednesday of the month, and we show up on a Tuesday to do Ask the Mayor with Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight. Thank you very much for having us.
All right, my pleasure, and thanks for covering Kokomo.
Summertime in Kokomo, end of July already. How are things going so far? Been a busy summer for you?
Been a busy summer. Most of it good. A lot of construction, and that's both building construction, predominantly private construction going on, and a lot of home construction. And then, of course, we're dealing with road projects as well, a lot of resurfacing, in some cases redesigning some streets, too.
Yeah, so Markland was closed in not all the lanes, but a few of the lanes as I was coming in. Is that a reconstruction area?
It is. Now, first phase is Indiana American Water's putting in some new water lines underneath, so we're coordinating that with them. Once they're done, we'll come in, do some sewer work, and then kind of redesigning the street. And if you come in on Markland Avenue from the east heading west, it's four lanes, and then it cuts down to two lanes at Washington. So we're going to transition that from a four-lane road to a three-lane road, an east-west and a center turn lane, and then back to two lanes at Washington. And if you've ever been through Kokomo at Washington Street in Markland, there's a jog, and we're going to kind of straighten that out. And it's always been somewhat of an annoyance to drivers and things. So we're going to fix that too. Hopefully, that's going to be one that's going to take up most of the season. We hope to have it completely done before fall, and we'll see how it goes.
Well, speaking of construction, something that we've talked about on the show for probably a year, if not more, was about the convention center downtown. And it was always, 2 months, 6 months.
Yeah.
But it finally came together. You had a press conference a few weeks ago. The announcement is out. What did it take to finally pull this together?
It's a lot of, it's funny. You say a year. I think it's been every bit of a year. May have been a couple of years. But this is something that we have talked about for a long time. We did a study a few years ago. Kokomo was identified as having a lack of available hotel space. We knew we needed to also put together an adjoining conference center. So now, there was a lot of things that have to happen, finding the right spot, making sure it's suitable for building that type of a product. We wanted to make sure it was connected, and you only do these things once, so we really want to get it right. So there were a lot of things we had to do. So this was, we announced it with Dora Hotels out of Indiana here, and they're going to build a 123, I believe it is, room, Hilton Garden Inn in downtown Kokomo, a 22,000 square foot conference center adjacent to it with breakout rooms, a main ballroom. And also a big important part of that is a 22,000 square foot automotive museum to showcase Kokomo's automotive history will be a part of that. So it's really really four pieces if you add in that the Chamber of Commerce and the Convention and Visitors Bureau will also have their main office out of that. So this is going to be a multi-use building, and really we think will be transformative. This is right along the Wildcat Creek, which we're doing some work along there to enhance that. It's across from the Flaherty and Collins housing project, catty corner from the Kokomo Municipal Stadium. So we think it's in a strategic location along our trail and next to some other amenities here in town.
Can we talk a little bit about how the finances came together? The hotel, is that an independent private investment from Dora?
Big chunk, easily the biggest chunk of money is going to come from Dora Hotels. Obviously, we have an estimated cost based on square footage. We'll have to do some of the bidding, see how they, hopefully, they come in close to that. And so really some of those things are to be worked out. The second biggest financial piece comes from the Convention and Visitors Bureau. They've been kind of squirreling away some of the money for the last two or three years, so they would have a large amount to put down as a down payment. And then the city and county will come in on helping to kind of close that gap on the conference center. So the biggest chunk's going to come from private investment from the hotel developer.
And I know we talked about the innkeeper's tax. The increase didn't come through this year. So to be able to maintain and operate the convention center throughout the next few years, what kind of revenue stream are you hoping for?
I think we're going to be fine. We really put together a business model that does not include any increase in the innkeeper's tax. We think if we were able to bump that up, we have one of the lower ones for a city our size at 5%. We're hoping to at least bump it up to 6 or 7%. We feel like that's a, you know, we pay that. When people from Kokomo and Howard County travel to Indianapolis or Bloomington or Evansville, Fort Wayne, we pay that innkeeper's tax when we visit other cities. So we think it's only fair that people from other communities that would come here would have to pay the same type of rates. But regardless, we are, you know, we have a business model that works under that plan. It probably did cause a few delays, maybe could have thrown us off track for a few months. To try to, you know, when we knew we weren't going to receive that slight bump, but we've made it work, and we think our business model is going to be obviously a success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talked to Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett, who they're also moving forward with the convention center. You're a little bit ahead of them right now. They're still in the earlier stages, but he said it creates a new downtown destination. Do you agree with that, and does that will that happen the same for Kokomo residents as well?
I do believe this. This is something we'll be able to host kind of those 1 to 4 day conferences. You know, the main ballroom will hold over 600 people at round tables with a, it'll have a deck off the, on the south side looking out towards the waterway. So yeah, we think this will really give us an opportunity to compete. And when we did the study, now this is data's 4 or 5 years old, but Howard County and Kokomo was the center of the state's population. If you think of Indianapolis being the center of the state geographically, there are more larger cities. You know, the population is a little bit more to the north part of Indiana. So us being strategically placed in the center, it showed that Howard County was kind of the center of the state's population. So we think it puts us in a nice place. And again, being located, you know, next to where we, you know, just a, about a block and a half from where we have our outdoor concerts and our summer festivals, Kokomo Municipal Stadium, which Indiana University Kokomo utilizes, as well as the Jackrabbits. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities we think we have here in Kokomo.
But how does this benefit the residents who are paying some of the tax money to go into this convention center?
Well, the best part is there's no tax increase to do this. This is, you know, I always say budgets are never really about revenue. They're really about priorities. And this is something that's a good investment for Kokomo. And so, you know, between city government, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and county government, we have strategically placed ourselves where we can, you know, we can make this investment in our downtown area and not have to increase taxes. So I think it's going to bring the value of properties up in the surrounding area. It should be a bring visitors here for those 2 or 3 day events, and hopefully once they come here, they fall in love with, you know, with the community and the things it has to offer.
You know, we talked about Columbus is looking into one too. Bloomington is expanding their convention center. Does that worry you a little bit with Terre Haute kind of jumping on? It's like everyone wants to jump on board with the convention center.
No, it really doesn't. I think most people, I think it's good for Hoosiers to experience other cities of similar size for the, you know, for, you know, for good experiences and maybe suggestions for improvements of their own. So when you look at really Indiana, and you can probably go across the state lines, you know, an hour or so. It's good to have some options, and then you know, to maybe rotate those around a little bit so people can kind of showcase and see other cities. And I think it would only be good. I wish the people of Kokomo spent a little more time going to Columbus and Bloomington and Terre Haute and Evansville and Mishawaka, and vice versa. I wish they spent a little more time so they could see their offerings and kind of know other communities a little bit better.
I want to get your take on, I read a report the Indiana Supreme Court says about 1,000 local leaders from 92 Indiana counties have registered to attend a statewide opioid summit this week. And after all the talk about a year or so ago, it's interesting now to see the action part of it, because I know you and I have talked a lot about the opioid crisis too. Some of this stuff doesn't happen overnight. A lot of government things doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
Over a period of time, you're starting to see things happen. And is the same happening here in Kokomo too?
It is, but we didn't, as I said, I think on this show maybe a year or two ago, you know, we didn't get here overnight. This was a problem that started, you know, a decade ago and has incrementally progressed into a more than just a city or a regional or a state problem. It's a national epidemic. And so you're starting to see more action take place. And people, you know, first of all, you have to raise awareness, and then you have to really kind of try to analyze the problem. And now we're looking at ways that we can combat the problem. And it's still a problem. You know, just here recently, we're doing a little bit better this year than we were a couple of years ago. But you know, each quarter, it's a challenge, and it's a day, you know, just like it's a day-to-day challenge for those people that are facing addictions.
I wanted to bring up something that made a lot of news in Bloomington this past week. It was about a website that gave out data, everything you can think about, but also included some of the overdose deaths and exact location of the deaths. Although not illegal, the city said it was something that provided transparency. So my question to you is, there's transparency, but there's good policy. Do you find yourself sometimes trying to maneuver that line as mayor of Kokomo in determining that?
Yeah, we do all the time on all kinds of subjects. You know, sometimes we'll have issues where, you know, we're just not allowed to talk about it. It could be personnel issues and why we make changes. And with, you know, obviously there are legal ramifications for divulging too much information, but there's also, you know, personal information and things shouldn't be shared, and that, you know, there be, you know, to kind of protect people. So not sure of all the details of the situation in Bloomington, but it's something I would think every city has to face, whether it be ongoing investigations into criminal activity, to you know, a lot of things we have to kind of make sure that we don't make things worse sometimes by sharing too much. And you can be criticized either way. And so, you know, we've had that where we just kind of take a hands off. But I think, you know, I feel like normally when those things have happened, we've made the right decision. And even though it was painful at the time. So.
Mm-hmm. I have to ask you about one-way streets and two-way streets. If I believe, it's been a long time, but I think you said that Kokomo used to have one-way streets.
Yeah.
And then they converted to two-way streets.
Yes. In our downtown area, yeah, when we first came in, most of the streets were one-way streets, and they were, we changed all of them in the downtown.
Why?
A couple of reasons. Obviously, to slow traffic down, we had, like a lot of cities, when you have the one-way streets, people will kind of speed up to when they see a stale green light or a fresh yellow light, they'll hurry up to try to make a string of traffic lights. It feels like for business opportunities, I think we have one of the most pedestrian-friendly downtowns in the state of Indiana. But it's a lot of things, trying to slow people down. People in Kokomo or any other city, the residents know how to navigate the one-way streets. They've grown up there, they've lived there, they experience it every day. But I think one-way streets are painful sometimes for visitors and tourists. And I've experienced that in large cities and mid-sized cities. You go there, I always say you can see where you want to go, but when there are a series of one-way streets, you have to go too far in the other directions, cut back, hope you didn't go too far, or not far enough, and have to circle back around. So I don't think one-way streets are a good experience for visitors. And so we changed those a few years ago, took out all the traffic lights, went to four-way stops, two-way streets. I think now, if I tried to go back to one-way streets, I think people would be up in arms if we tried to go back, and we have no plans to go back. It's been very successful. It also gives people the opportunity to see businesses, from a different direction, and the whole idea is to slow people down a little bit, make sure people have that are walking and riding a bicycle or have a fair shot at getting to their destination.
Yeah. Reason why I ask South Bend is, I guess, recently going through this transition, and now Bloomington is thinking about doing the same. Yeah. And I thought, here's someone that we can talk to who has gone through this, although it's been quite a while. It worked out.
It did. I mean, and I think we were one of the first, at least in Indiana, not the first, but one of the first that to convert back to two-way streets. When we had done this back in the 1950s, I believe. But you know, New Albany did this a couple of years ago. And some other cities have done that as well. And like I say, I go to a lot of other communities. And when I really don't know my way around, I always prefer the two-way streets as opposed to the one-way streets. So I think it's nice for visitors.
Yeah. Kokomo Tribune reporting that a special counsel meeting, I believe, takes place tonight. This is Tuesday, although this airs on Wednesday. It's a four-story, 51-unit affordable housing project, and this is located north of the city where
downtown, just north of downtown, but
the city owns the land.
City owns the land currently. This is an underutilized piece of property. I don't know if we communicate this as well. Most of the housing projects, not all, they're either just strictly private development or they're tax credit housing. And tax credits do not come from the city. They do not come from the state. They are federal tax credits that are administered by the state. So they're not getting any financial benefit from the city of Kokomo to do these projects. So this is affordable family housing, and it's just north of downtown, so we think it's in a spot that's underutilized. We want to start really focusing on rehabilitating that area. It's an area that, in my mind, you know, having, in all fairness, I'm a lifelong resident, hasn't seen a lot of investment, either publicly or privately, and we think this is a good fit for us. It's right along the trail. It's a beautiful design. We'll have balconies. We'll really enhance that area. People always say, well, those areas need businesses, and really what do businesses need? They need people. So this is something that's important to us. We also, it's been my policy, and I'll defend it till the end, that we want to make sure every person living here has an opportunity for quality housing regardless of their personal situation, whether it's homeless veterans, adults with disabilities, senior living, and in this case, family housing. So it's a priority for us.
And is the vote tonight about zoning?
Yeah, I think there's a zoning vote because it was zoned, I think, heavy commercial,
right.
And now it has to be for multi-family.
Yeah. Okay, and I guess, do you assume that will pass? And
I think so.
We
do
kind of work out.
I feel good about it. Obviously, we try to give a heads up to the council president and maybe which committee. We have a city council member that serves on the plan commission. They supported it at the plan commission meeting. So we feel like this is a good project. I'll say this on air. I think we have a very forward-thinking city council. To a person, they are engaged in the community. They care about the community, and they have been willing to make tough decisions sometimes and be forward-thinking, looking not just at addressing today's problems, but our city council tries to look 2, 3, 4 years down the road as well.
And speaking of that, this is also part of a long-term plan for redevelopment of that north side of downtown. Is that right?
That's true. We put together a plan. This is the second year through IU, through their SPIA program. We've had an intern, and this year the intern focused on, let's put together a master plan for this area. Let's identify the current property use. They broke down which were single family homes, which were maybe multifamily homes, apartments, duplexes, things like that. But let's also identify the challenges in the neighborhood and the possibilities. So they're also going to come out and support, we're looking for a yes or no vote on supporting this redevelopment of the near north side. And we think it's an important step to designate this area, and let's start focusing on making improvements.
And then just a quick follow-up on that duplex, too, just a timeline for that.
For the apartments?
Yeah, if that were to get passed, keep moving. Are we talking about like a year?
Yep. Through the Indiana Housing and Community Development, which has been very, to me, is one of the most, I'll give credit to Governor Holcomb. I think it's one of the easiest departments that we work with in state government. We can call them on short notice, ask questions. They help guide us at times. So we have at least the city of Kokomo has a great relationship with that agency. What we have to do is we have to put our plan in place, get things zoned properly, get approval, all the site plan. Then we submit it, and then it's competitive. So other communities will be competing as well. I think they will make the awards in November. And so if everything fell into place, this could have a break ground late spring, early summer of next year. That would win. And then usually that's about a 12-month build once the shovels go in the ground.
And then how would the land that the city owns, does that get transferred?
That's part of our donation, is transferring that city property, which if you went by there now, it's just a vacant lot.
Right. So.
And it puts it back on the tax rolls. They pay property taxes in the city of Kokomo. Right now it's a city-owned property, so it kind of helps with the stabilize the community.
Yeah. That's all I had. What are you working on today? What's on top of the mayor's desk right now?
Well, right now it's trying to push all these things through, make sure that we've got some, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of road projects. I had a representative from E&B Paving up here this morning, making sure we're getting those things done. We're doing a trail extension on the west side. If you went out today, our street crews are over there connecting Malik Park, going to the northeast towards Pettit Park School. So this will go through on the west side, connect some new businesses over there, as well as some existing business, kind of giving that a neighborhood feel. So it's really about making sure we get keep those projects moving along and get over those hurdles that come up periodically on sites.
And I have to say, I interviewed John Weikart yesterday about the Monroe County Convention Center, and he said to say hello.
Good.
From Bloomington to Kokomo, and he can't wait to come up and visit.
Yeah.
And of course, you know John.
I know
Weikart
John personally. John, when he lived here in Kokomo, was my younger sister babysat John's kids when they were little. That's how long I've known him. So yes, pass that back to him.
Okay, myself. I will.